Well, good morning. It is great to be with you this morning. I've had a few people apologize. Sorry we couldn't be outside, but I understand you don't control the rain. So I'll come back again and preach if you'd like me to, and we can be outside. It is a good gift to be with you this morning. And no, Carl and I have not known each other since grade school, but nice try on that one. That's good. So we're going to talk about a familiar story today, but hopefully we will have a moment to think about some things that might challenge us or invite us in new ways. I want you to think about a time in your life when you thought, how in the world did I get here? I didn't expect these circumstances. I'm in an unexpected place, and I have to deal with something I had no idea was coming. As I was preparing the sermon, I was thinking about a time in 2004, yes, it's a long time ago, where I was where I did not want to be. And when you're in those moments, how do you feel? How do you respond? I want you to think about that for a moment. I was in Uglich, Russia, and I was behind in a parking lot behind an orphanage with a retired Microsoft executive who was 40 years old. He was a millionaire, and he was having a conversation with some men who are mafia, who are carrying guns. And I was in this situation going, how in the world did we get here? And it felt like a movie, and it wasn't. It was actually happening, but there was something bad going down in this conversation. And in the midst of a moment where people were having a conversation I could not follow, I could not understand, I had no idea what was happening, not only did I wonder, how did I end up here, but I thought, are we going to be okay when this conversation is over? I didn't know how it was going to turn out. There was absolutely nothing I could do in those moments but feel a little afraid and trying to locate where the police station was in the town. And so I prayed. I said, Jesus, somehow will you intervene in whatever's going on here, and would you allow us to be okay? And within the hour, the attempted extortion ended. The retired Microsoft executive didn't lose a ruble. The mafia men, their tempers cooled and they left. And we were able to rejoin the orphans that we were there to serve. Now, that was kind of an extreme example of me being in a place I'd never expected, but I don't forget that story because it reminded me of some important things. That when we find ourselves in unexpected places, there's an opportunity for us to put our faith into practice. And Pastor Carl tells me that you're in a series this summer taking a look at a bunch of different women in the Bible to see people who have been woven throughout God's grand salvation story, what they're teaching us about faith. And so in Hebrews 11:1, we read, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And chapter 11 goes on to list a whole bunch of different people throughout history that practiced faith and were models of faith. And in verse 31, the Hebrews writer says this, by faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. So we turn our attention today to remember Rahab. It's a fascinating story. It's probably one that you're familiar with, but there's a lot of twists and turns in this thing, and there's strategic hospitality, there's kindness, there's fear, there's hope, and there's resolution. Rahab shows us what it looks like to live by faith. She didn't know how her story would end, but she knew who God was. And so I'd like you to turn to your Bibles or look in your phone app at Joshua chapter 2 if you want to follow along. And as you look for Joshua 2, I want to remind you that faith doesn't mean we have no fears, no questions, no weakness, no doubt. Faith means that we trust God as he reveals himself to us, and that trust changes how we live life and what we do. And so Joshua chapter 2, verse 1, we'll read these verses again. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. Go look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab. Bring out the men who came to you and enter to your house because they have come to spy out the whole land. So the setting for this story is Jericho. It's a beautiful city in the land of Canaan. It's an oasis with springs of water and palm trees. It's probably really beautiful with blue skies and incredible views. It was within the land flowing with milk and honey. The Israelites knew it as the promised land. And at this time, people living in this beautiful place are actually filled with a lot of fear, and they're stuck in discouragement because of what God had done for Israel and what God had done to Israel's enemies. The Israelites were on the move with a new leader. Joshua was mobilizing his fighting men to enter the promised land, and Jericho's residents are afraid. An oppressive air hangs over this city. God's judgment was coming. Word about the power of Yahweh spread, and they understood this reality of harem, which is a Hebrew term meaning everything captured is to be devoted to the Lord, completely destroyed and sacrificed. So the king of Jericho is trying to make sense of reports that spies have come into his city. He wanted to protect his people and obviously and understandably protect his corner of the world. Other cities had fallen because of judgment for sin and rebellion and rejection of the Lord and his ways. So the people of Jericho are afraid, but the king of Jericho is also afraid. So Rahab was one of the residents of this city, but this land didn't hold much promise or much hope for this woman. She was an outsider. She was unmarried. She was a woman. She was childless. And we don't know why, but Rahab was a prostitute. We don't know her whole story. The scripture is pretty vague about her life. But the Bible does tell us that God meets her in the middle of her fractured world, in the middle of her reality. I believe it's remarkable that God meets us right where we are, not in the life we wished we had. God meets us right where we are. I want us to turn our attention to the Israeli spies for a moment, too, because there are other characters in this story. So Joshua sent men to the city to spy out what was going on. And at the start of this story, it looks like a completely failed mission, more along the lines of Get Smart or Jackie Chan than James Bond. These spies arrive in Jericho and head to the house of a prostitute, which seems like a really odd choice. They weren't up to no good, but it was probably a place that they would go unnoticed because people were coming and going from this house all the time. And it was likely they thought they could pick up some local gossip about what was going on in the city at the time. So instead of looking over the land and sneaking around, checking out what's happening in the broader countryside, they end up hiding under a pile of flax on a rooftop. They find themselves dependent on the hospitality and the protection of a Canaanite prostitute rather than their own devices. And so I imagine the spies felt a little conflicted and afraid. They were like, we're on a mission from God. How did we end up here hiding on a roof, helpless at the mercy of a woman we don't know if we can trust? So the people of Jericho, the king, Rahab, even the spies from Israel all find themselves in unexpected places, discouraged and afraid for a variety of reasons. Like the people in this story, you and I live in unexpected circumstances in a fractured world. Our world is shaped by natural disaster, by war, human trafficking, displaced people, and economic crisis. There are big things happening all over this globe that impact you and me personally. And it doesn't take long for us to identify places of brokenness. The impact of sin and rebellion is real, as our world is not what it will be someday. So I want to take a moment and ask you, what does life look like for you today? Does anything cause you to feel discouraged or afraid? Perhaps you're facing family conflict, job frustrations, depression or anxiety, financial stress, a lost dream. Maybe there's an addiction that won't let you or a loved one go. In these moments, fear and discouragement may be your closest companions. And if so, you can certainly relate to all the people in this story. So I want to encourage you that no matter what life looks like, turn to faith, turn to God. When we face fear and discouragement, may we trust the God whom Rahab trusted, because he is faithful and he keeps his covenant promises. I think it's really important that we recognize the fact that faith doesn't eliminate our fear. Faith doesn't get rid of it. But faith gives us someone to trust in the middle of our fear. As our story unfolds, we see Rahab does the best she can with what she knows at the time. And so she's faithful to cultural practices in the Middle East at this time. Her acts of faith are woven together with threads of hospitality. So when strangers come to her door, she offers protection, shelter, and food. In spite of really good reasons to be afraid, Rahab wasn't paralyzed by the realization the Israelites had come into her home. As I sat with this story, I'm like, oh my goodness, I can't imagine being Rahab. Somebody knocks on the door, she opens it, these guys enter, and she realizes that the enemy is in her house. That would be terrifying. At least for me, it would be. But Hebrews 11 tells us that Rahab welcomed the spies, extending kindness to outsiders who interrupted her life. It's a challenge for me as I think about, what happens? How do I react when people interrupt my life? Particularly those that might make my life a little more complicated than I'd like. Rahab's life was at risk from the Israelites' advance. Her life was at risk because in hiding the spies, she actually committed treason, and she faces punishment from her own king. Rahab made costly choices that put her at odds with the people around her. She told the king's men that the Israelites had left before the gates closed, and then she pointed them in a different direction. And this is the challenging part of the story for us as we hold up Rahab as a model of faith. Rahab lied. Her faith was genuine, even though she wasn't a perfect model of obedience. And so Rahab's life isn't prescriptive, telling us everything we ought to do and we model our lives after her. It's actually descriptive about what was the overarching themes we can learn from her. When life was filled with fear and discouragement, Rahab acted in faith based on what she understood about the Lord. And so we keep reading the story in verse 9. I know the Lord has given this land to you, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts sank, and everyone's courage failed because of you, for the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. Jericho had heard about Israel's God. The people of Jericho heard the testimony about what Yahweh had done, and their response was melting in fear. Rahab heard what God had done, and her response was recognizing the truth of who God was, so that she ended up staking her future on him. It seemed like the gods she'd been trusting all her life couldn't stand up against the Israelites' God, and so even though she didn't understand it all, she knew enough to say, "The Lord is the God of Israel, and he's the true God. And I've got to put my trust in him." Rahab's words to the spies in this moment communicate a really important message to them. It's what they came to the city to find out. The Canaanites are melting in fear and discouragement, and God has given you this land. So Rahab places her trust in the Lord, asking the spies that her life and the lives of her family be spared. And so we read in verses 12 and 13, she says, "Now then, please swear to me by the Lord you will show kindness to my family, because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you'll spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. I think it's remarkable that the spies trust Rahab's report of what's going on in the city. So after the guards leave, they escape over the wall. They go in the opposite direction, and they hide for 3 days until they connect once again with Joshua. And in verse 24 of chapter 2, we read their report to Joshua. They say, "The Lord has surely given the whole land into our hands. All the people are melting in fear because of us." And I want you to pay attention to that message because it's quite remarkable. God uses the confession of a Canaanite prostitute to inspire the faith of a nation. God uses Rahab to inspire the Israelites. In this fractured world, in the midst of unexpected circumstances, remember the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. Have faith like Rahab, and let your faith lead you to act like she did. She welcomed spies and protected her family. She risked her life and gave herself to the mercy of God. So faith asks that we respond to what we know about God. Faith asks that we trust God and let that trust influence how we act. So wherever you find yourself today, what might your faith be inviting you to do? In verse 17 of Joshua 2, we read, "Now the men had said to her, 'This oath you made us swear will not be binding on us unless we enter the land. You have tied the scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. And unless you have brought your father and mother, your brothers, and all your family into your house.'" In verse 21, she says, "Agreed. Let it be as you say." So she sent them away, and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord in the window. There are parts of this story that make me and should make us very uncomfortable. Judgment is not easy. Scripture asks us to see the seriousness of God's judgment, and this story invites us to see the astonishing reach of God's mercy in the context of his judgment. The impending destruction of Jericho is about God's judgment on Canaan. Rahab's faith didn't save her entire city. But in sparing Rahab and her family, we see God showing mercy to someone who turns to him in faith. At the end of her rope, Rahab places her life and hope in God's hands. The red cord is a signal to the Israelites that they need to remember Rahab and the confession of her faith in God and the covenant they made with her. The red cord identifies her household for protection, and it is a symbol of God's mercy. Rahab's faith is real. She is not perfect. She makes a courageous decision in the midst of a really terrifying situation, and God receives her. As this story continues to unfold in Joshua chapter 6, verse 25, we read this. "Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute with her family and all who belonged to her because she hid the men Joshua had sent as spies to Jericho. And she lives among the Israelites today." Rahab escaped destruction, lived among the Israelites, and made her home among them. This outsider prostitute, woman who didn't even belong in her own society, became an insider and part of the family of God. We hear nothing more about her in the Old Testament, but as the book of Matthew begins to tell the story of Jesus, Rahab shows up as the wife of Salmon, the mother of Boaz, the great-great-grandmother of David, a descendant of Jesus. It is amazing how God's rescue, his mercy, transforms life. Rahab was redeemed. She was rescued from Jericho and brought into God's people. And her life then becomes woven into the great salvation story that Jesus brings into the world. We sang some of these words earlier in worship from John 3, 16 and 17. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Often we don't think about verse 18 or 17, so I wanted to read that. Jesus came not to condemn the world, but to save this world. So Jesus came to give his life to pay the price for sin that every person on this planet, every outsider, might be saved if they turn to him with a heart of faith. And this is good news. So when we are faced with difficult people, difficult circumstances that seem beyond repair, outside the scope of any restoration, may we remember Rahab and the hope that Jesus offers. Rahab lived under the threat of violence from a conquering army, and she chose to trust the mercy of God. Christians in Iran today likewise find themselves making costly decisions in environments of fear and in uncertainty. The circumstances certainly aren't identical, but the question is remarkably similar to Rahab's. Where will I place my trust when fear becomes the atmosphere around me? An article in Christianity Today this past spring described what was going on in the Iranian Christian church. It's an underground church that has to hide because obviously Iran is a Muslim country and it's illegal to be a person of Christian faith. But Iranian Christians serve others. They share food and shelter, and they continue to share their faith and their love with neighbors in spite of fear and turmoil and uncertainty. This article makes a really incredible statement. It says, their courage isn't because they aren't afraid. Their courage is because they know Jesus is with them in the middle of their fear. So Iranian Christians who are part of the underground church are making daily choices to care for their neighbors, to love people well, and to share their faith in Christ. The Iranian church is courageous, generous, and growing, although they're not perfect. They do the best they can with what they have. One woman who left Iran before the war started said, "Even when I can't be there, I know God is there. He's saving lives, reaching hearts, and turning even the most horrific situations into moments of salvation. God has his ways." So like the Iranian church, like Rahab and Jericho, our faith, displayed through simple acts of trust and kindness, opens the doors for God's mercy to bring outsiders into this great salvation story. So as you think about the unexpected place you might find yourself today, the things that lead you to fear or discouragement, I want to encourage you to have faith. Faith doesn't mean you have it all together. Faith doesn't mean you don't doubt. But faith means you trust God, looking for his presence with you in the midst of fear and discouragement. And trusting that as Jesus transforms you, he will transform your actions and your circumstances. Rahab certainly didn't know how her story would end. That she would be a part of Jesus' genealogy or in the hall of fame of faith in Hebrews 11. She just knew that today she needed to trust God because he was God in heaven above and on the earth below. So when you're in a place of fear or discouragement, trust that God is on the move, that he keeps his promises, that he changes lives and he's building his kingdom. God is faithful and he so loves the world that he gave his only son to save the world, to save you and me. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And you and I have no idea what kind of lasting impact our faith and the choices we make around that faith may have in this world. But I want to encourage you today to let your trust in Jesus, not your fear, shape how you live today and the day after that and the day after that. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we give you thanks and praise for the gift of salvation in you. And we thank you for the difference that you make, not just in our lives, but in the world in which we live. And we pray, Lord, as we may feel afraid or discouraged by circumstances around us, that you would continue to invite us to look up, to look at you, and to bring our circumstances into your loving embrace. So Jesus, would you continue to walk with us and help us pay attention how our faith, not our fear, might invite us to share your love, your mercy, and your grace with this world in which we live. Continue to give us confidence in you, Lord Jesus, because you are the only thing worthy of our faith. We give ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen.